Want to see what we're having anymore, do you notice? It's bratwurst and sauerkraut last night.
Overcome with guilt.
Oh, that sounded good.
It was great.
Of course, the tortellini with shrimp. And
wonderful.
Oh, we had a kick. Oh, that was so good.
Who made the lemon thing?
That was Angela Martin.
And the shrimp stuff?
No, the lemon bars.
Oh, the lemon bars.
Oh, the lemon bars. That was me.
Oh, lemon. Everything was great. Okay.
We have James.
Yeah, you're all sick.
Good point.
Ecclesiastes. See if we can finish chapter 9.
But it's cute.
We got through 17. We're in 18 now. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. There's an infinite number of examples of this throughout the ancient writings of who that is referring to. And since we haven't studied many of them, it would take too long to go through them. But the one that all of the ancient rabbis concentrated on or centered on was that wisdom refers to Jacob, and weapons of war refers to Esau. And the New Testament centers on those two also. And the question is why? They were twins. Again, Jacob, the word meaning the way of the snake, he centered, I mean, the process of his way of the snake name is centered in the birth, because by whatever mechanism, his hand came out first, even though he was the one that Esau should have gotten the birthright. But anyway, let's look at it a couple places in Romans 9 first. Starting verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And they're twins. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, or of him that worketh, or of him that does anything, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, For this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will, or who can possibly resist God? And this is the crux. This is where we get into trouble. This is where we become victims. This is where we become trying to justify ourselves in the flesh. What?
I'm just having a little moment here. Are you okay? Doing good. No, just...
This is total... This is... First of all, the thing we're studying is the weapons... The wisdom is better than weapons of war. What are the weapons of war? Let's go back to that. The weapons of our warfare, the weapons of anyone's warfare, first start in the voices, in the Sanhedrin. They start in your mind. And boy, do they rapidly either see victory or see defeat. Either one is wrong. You see ways to accomplish, ways to jump, ways to get over this, ways to fix it, ways to succeed. Or you see, oh my God, the world's coming to an end, I'm lost, I have to go back to New Jersey. Harry had one of these moments this weekend.
You had a New Jersey moment?
I had my period.
He had his, no, it wasn't his period, it was his menopause.
Oh, that's good.
We hope. Harry was convinced that the world was coming to an end and everything was wrong. As he's done so many times in the past. But it's not, you hear it, it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, it's not of him that worketh, it's not of him that trieth, it's not of him that... It's not of him that goes and figures it out. It's not of him that is educated. It's not of him that's stupid. It's not of him that's anything. It's of God that showeth mercy. This is where Calvinism started, this whole idea of the elect and everybody else is going to hell. But it's not about that, because it's revealed that the grace is always there. It's your response to the grace that's important. Let's continue. In verse 19, then wilt thou say unto me, why does he, God, yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? I will call them that were not my people, I will call them my people. I am found by those that sought me not. The whole mystery of God is centered in this total grace. Now, until that penetrates you, but grace can only be manifest. Well, let's go. Let's go now and look at the same thing. Jacob, remember this. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He said that before they were born. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter something, 12, I think. Hebrews let's go ahead and start in verse 1. This is so important. We'll just remember the whole of chapter 11 is about this mystery of faith. Starting in verse, let's go back to 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Wherefore...
Sir. Something I just never saw before, in all the times we've read this, we were just talking about how God has mercy on who he will have mercy, and love who he loves. It's up to him, he's God, shut up. And here's this list of people, basically heroes. And some of them were successful in war and won. Others were raised from the dead after they had already lost, in quotes. But others were destitute, beaten, martyred. I mean, it doesn't make any difference whether they were winners, losers, sick, not sick. In that list, they're all there. Right. I've not seen that before.
That's critical. That's why we can never be justified in the flesh.
There's no evidence in the
You understand it? We always want to look for evidence.
Winners.
We want to worship Baal. We want the cause and effect. And we can live by the rules, be religious.
Well, let's go on here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, this is where the point that we've talked about forever and ever, that if you have the weight, the slightest weight on you cannot be there for 1 second. The minute there's an awareness of self, that is the weight. It has to be let go. And the more it's let go, the more it will be let go. Because pretty soon you cannot possibly conceive walking any or taking another breath with that weight. The weight used to seem like nothing to you when you first started the process or the trip. But the weight becomes so unacceptable to you that you cannot bear it. Unless you're still walking as a brute beast. And you're still going up to your little mountains and carrying all the wood and carrying all the little parts of your plan up to your little mountain in your minds. But you lay aside it instantly. In the nanosecond that there's awareness, it's laid aside. That's what true repentance is. Now, everything in time and space is going to constantly be trying to put a weight on you. And if it's not all those people out there, it's those people in here. They're going to constantly put a weight on you. And if it's not those people in here, it's your spouses. Because that's where the weight comes easiest. That's why the marriages are a visual type to see how the weight being laid aside. That's why, and again, It can't, you cannot keep, there's no righteous thing to do. That's why I make fun of you so often when you say you've been dealing with something for 3 months. Why? Oh, I've been dealing with it the last 3 days. Why?
To win the war.
You've lost. But it's lay aside the weight. And it's the slightest weight. Even the weight of the weight of an atom is too much weight to have.
Not even the weight of a feather.
Well, you can figure it out if you want to.
Yeah,
we
got you.
Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, easily here, it should say, it could easily say, which so naturally besets us, which is the natural basis of how you're wired. You're hardwired to take it on.
I think about the resurrection and Jesus' death symbolically released all weights, even from him, and he couldn't even be held by gravity.
That's right.
Nothing could hold him.
He fulfilled not just the spiritual law, he fulfilled all natural law. And when he ascended to the Father, that was the fulfillment, everything. He rose from the dead first. That was the resurrection. But the ascension was the final. It showed that every law of physics, every law of astrophysics, every law of cosmology, every law of gravity, everything was fulfilled in him. And there was nothing that could hold.
He walked through walls because there was no resistance.
But when we resist, when we use the natural, when we try to fight the battle with our own tools, then we've lost. Because we believe that there's something, it comes down to this very simple cliche that I've used forever. The moment you think that something is going on with you, then the battle is lost. Because you then are not a disciple who continued with him in his test, you have a test. Now this is where you, I promise you, I don't care if you're a brand new believer or you've been walking for 50 years in him, it's the same thing. The minute, the split second that you have a deal, something's happening with you, you're dealing with something, then you're deceived. And that's this weight that does so easily beset us. Remember, trespass are there had to be the trespass offerings and the sin offerings. The trespasses offerings are for what we do. The sin offering is for what we are. And it's the sin offering for what we are. The sin, what we are, is what does so easily beset us. Because we instantly take this on, then we have to have a how-to, then we have to figure it out, then we have to compare. And for some of you, I'm probably speaking Greek, because you cannot imagine a life without having you as the subject. You can't have you as a subject in a good way. Even, I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. No. Oh, I'm praying. No. It's Him. He lives, not you. Because otherwise you'll be constantly deceived by this issue. The moment you think there is something going on with you, then you have to prepare your arsenal. You have to go through and start listing what you have and what you don't have, and you have to start comparing and seeing whether or not you meet up to some schedule, some standards.
I just saw the target. You know, the hamartia sin is the bullseye, and anything outside of that microscopic dot is self.
I mean, it doesn't matter how far out it is. The
right.
self can be way out
way
here.
Way out, or it can be that close to self.
Again, that's why God has permitted there to be addicts, drug addicts, so that all of us, and alcoholics, so we can see how much that they just revealed to us how much we're addicted to ourselves. It's the addiction to self that is the sin that is thus so easily beset you. It is the lie that has deceived the whole world. We're not going very rapidly here. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily or naturally beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, notice, it's author and finisher of faith. Our is in italics, isn't it, in your Bible?
Yeah.
That means that it's an addition. He is the author and finisher of faith. We are either in faith or out of faith. It's never our faith. We live by the faith of Christ. Right? No more little...
The stuff that you're talking about now, for some reason, I'm thinking about where it started. I'm thinking about the father of lies. I'm thinking about Lucifer. And the things that you're saying... That's where it started. I won't do that.
Right. The
first
five I am.
Say I rather than, even God didn't say I. He said we.
Consider looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy, actually what it says is huper. For is the Greek word huper. And it can be translated for, or in my opinion here, it should be translated instead of. Who instead of the joy that was set before him, what joy that was set before him? When he finished the race, when he on the Mount of Transfiguration. Instead of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And how did he endure? He endured the contradiction of sinners against himself by never making himself the subject of the sentence. It was always given back to the Father. Oh, but you don't understand, Ole. I'm dealing with something real. No, you're not. You're walking in deception again. Well, I got to deal with this and this and this. Well, then you'll continue to deal with this and this and this and that and those and them and forever. It's either you get rid of the I motive or you die in the I motive. Do you see how total this is? Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You faint in your mind the moment you go back to solving. To considering. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. The prudent just means one and one is two. One and one isn't two to a spiritual man. One and one is a million, a billion, a trillion. Again, I hate to bring you back, but it wasn't until 1000 AD that they invented the concept of zero. So we could, then as soon as we invented zero, then we can manipulate. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Oh, but I've tried everything. Well, you haven't tried. You've got to strive, but you've got to go to the right battle. You've been fighting the wrong battle. You've been fighting the battle of darkness. The battle of light is only, I'm not here anymore. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whatever is gain to me is lost to Christ. Can I hear that? I don't know. If there's something you got to do, then you go do it with everything in you. You don't do it to be successful. You do it to see that you've been deceived and wanting to do it in the first place. Because everything in the book of Ecclesiastes is vanity of vanity, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. All is vain and vexation of spirit. Everything that you can conceive of is futile, empty, without value. And vexation of spirit is chasing wind. Don't want to hear this until you're so tired of chasing wind and building these idiotic ideas and plans and sweet thoughts and honest lies. This is really bad news.
I'm hit by this resisting against blood, striving against sin.
Resisted unto blood.
Yeah. It's like that's what Jesus did. He didn't, this was no cakewalk for him.
I can't even conceive the difficulty of it.
I know. And to think, well, because he was Jesus, it's all just blah, blah, blah. I think that's an overlooked scripture.
And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. What is the chastening? What is the rod and the staff? It's something coming against you that you don't like. But your mind blames it in everything else except the Holy Spirit. Right? There's whole religions based on how to overcome this. There's national television networks. Worth billions of dollars. Their whole thing is based on how you can resist. How you can be a successful Adam in Jesus' name. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint. Faint just means to leave faith and go to a solution. That's what fainting means. You leave faith and go to some other place. You lean on your own arm of understanding. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, you endure it by staying in faith. You stand still to see the salvation of God. God's dealing with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, i.e. you constantly quit in your mind, you leave in your mind and come up with a million different solutions, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, we're going to jump ahead, because we want to get to the Jacob Esau thing. So I beg you, read the verses between where we just stopped, and go down to verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Wisdom, you remember all of the predicates of wisdom we've talked about. If whatever you're conceiving is highly esteemed among men, you can be assured it's an abomination unto God. Second, if you yet please men, you should not be the servant of God. Number three, if there isn't any suffering, you're not in the will of God.
I just wanted to ask you if you could help me understand verse 17.
You know that how afterward he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He couldn't be forgiven.
Because
it's the flesh.
Because it's the flesh. He continued to try to save his own life. No matter what he did, he was rejected. He never saw the cross. He thought life had something to do with him.
Had he been given repentance, then all flesh might feel it deserved that chance.
Well, he was always available. All he had to do was consider himself crucified. Everybody from Isaac, Jacob, he was the worst bastard than Esau. He was the way of the snake. Esau just means the way of the flesh. And yet, finally, he wouldn't let go when the struggle was going on. And the angel said, I will not let you go until you tell me your name. And when he finally said, my name is Jacob, and my name is the way of the snake, my name is the Antichrist. Then he said, you shall no longer be called. All he had to do was confess it. Boom. Same thing should have happened or could have happened to Esau. All he had to do was confess it.
Brings to mind David. He was a bad boy several times.
Yeah. So wisdom. What is it? What is this? The last verse. This is a hallmark because we're leaving chapter 9. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Remember, the moment that someone in the name of God teaches somebody else self-realization, then he's fallen from grace. Repent again. Moment you teach self-realization in the name of God, then you've left the cross. Does anybody see this? And if you do see that, it should revolutionize your life. Do they have any response? Kevin?
I've got a call.
I was thinking about the scripture, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
We were speaking of his death. That's what it says. That he said it spake of his death and that he was to accomplish for his death. We don't lift him up. I owe Jesus. We just lifted you up.
Therefore,
all righty. Consider these things.
So we're done with chapter 9.
Woo!
How many chapters are there?
12.
Oh my God. We'll be done with this by Christmas.
We may be done by Friday. If I just go through.
Sure, it could happen.
Well, I could whiz on through instead of spending 40 hours on each verse.
It could happen.
Take a big gun.
It could happen.
What happened to you?